you.
Appreciate it.
We have a Sergeant Solario here.
Yes, hello. Real quick, I'll start with the North Police staff, and then I'll go into some of the staff for this past week reference snowplay. The month of December, we had 116 calls to Social Service with 6 reports. 2 of those reports were for thefts. 1 of those reports was for a missing person. 2 of those reports were for death investigation and 1 assault report. So the calls to service are about on average what we normally have. The reports that we're taking are, the number of reports, excuse me, are on average what we normally take up here on a monthly basis. Now, I know a lot of you guys were talking about the issues with the snowplane. Right now, the Sheriff's Department originally this year, because of COVID, we were initially told that we were going to not be allowed to have any overtime for snowplane patrol originally. How the department was able to give us some limited money for overtime spots so we could have deputies up here for snowplay. However, we have to use those spots sparingly. So based on that, what I have to do is I literally check the weather report day to day to see when it's going to snow, how much snow we're expected to get. And I, based on those levels and the snowmelt levels, is what I base our staffing levels as far as snow patrol up here. This past week, starting on December 28th, we either had 2 to 3 deputies per day up here conducting snow patrol operations. In that week time, we had 16 deputies total spread out through the week. Those 16 deputies issued 483 citations for various things as snow parking, snow play. And we're glad to see that the county actually changed what the fine is for snowplay. Like previous years, it was a $13 fine, so nobody really cared about getting a ticket, which made it hard for us to enforce. However, this year for snowplay, the citations are now $150.
Nice.
So that'll help out a little bit as far as trying to keep people away. As far as this coming weekend goes, like I stated, I've been checking the weather reports and looking at snowmelt. We don't currently have any staffing for snowplay this weekend. However, that may change. If I can try to get at least one body up here for Saturday and one for Sunday, see if we can help out. It just depends on the snow melt.
Okay.
Yeah, I did see, Sergeant, I did see your guys and gals were around a lot on Lone Pine Canyon, over on Highway 2 and over on the eastern side, so I know they're writing a lot of tickets, and your numbers of 483 represent that, so thank you for the finest out there for supporting us.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And also, as you know, CHP has also been up here trying to do their part. As you know, we try to separate the areas, Highway 2 and usually Lone Pine Canyon coming into town to CHP's jurisdiction. And then all these side streets in town, Sheriff's Department will usually take care of, but obviously we try to help each other out as much as we can as well.
Yeah, I did see the CHP on Highway 2 writing a bunch of tickets as well because of their snow plane and parking there with no parking signs, and I know it's on a state highway, so I saw at least 2 or 3 CHP officers up on Highway 2, so.
Good. Additionally, our deputies were also handling, our snowplay deputies did handle calls for service in the Redwood area during the week just because of the added congestion from all the traffic. Our normal deputies that would be coming up here to handle those calls were delayed by over an hour, so some of the snowplay deputies actually did handle calls for service up here as well.
So, Sergeant, I also reached out to Lori, I think last Wednesday, Lori. I asked you to put a notice out on the CSD website if there are any snow play going on in your yards or lots or private property, to call the Sheriff's Department, because the more calls we get to the Sheriff's Department, the more help we'll be getting up here. So that's why over the years, we've had great support from the Sheriff's Department, and they've provided overtime funding. Granted, this year is the COVID-19, but we did have good representation. We always want more, but it is what it is. And I just encourage the community to call the Sheriff's Department. And next time, Lori, when we do that, post that out there, let's put the Sheriff's Department number. So
they were added to the post.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
More calls we get today.
Yes.
Like Leo said, it shows that we need the bodies up here, so we're able to allocate more overtime. But obviously, that budget comes from, you know, down the hill in the Board of Supervisors as far as our budget goes for that overtime.
And when you look at 483 tickets, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, you saw that on actually New Year's Day, two of my deputies that were working up here parked their car about a mile away and were out on foot walking over a mile down the road and taking every single car that they came across that was parked illegally. So they're not just driving around, they were out on foot enforcement.
Well, thank you for your support, and the CHP, too. I know they were out there.
You're welcome, sir.
Thank you. Sergeant, is there anything else that we can do as a board to assist you in that, or anything that we can communicate more to our community to help the efforts or reporting or anything?
Well, like Leo said, if you call for service, it shows that we have more calls for service where we're from snowflakes. A lot of times, some of the calls that we're getting is for snow players on private property and people's front yards such and such. Unfortunately, we'll try to get there, in a quick response time to try to handle the issue if there are people trespassing. However, most of the time, by the time we're able to get through all the traffic to someone's house for a snow player in the front yard, those people are gone. So this is what we can do about it. But we are trying, obviously, like I said, if we had more overtime, we'd be able to have more bodies. Right now, we're allocated 3 deputies per snow day. However, I don't want to spend all that money right off the bat, so that's why this week I spent 98 hours on overtime for deputies, plus I had an additional 60 hours of straight time for deputies that I had to pull from other duties so they could be up here, so we didn't blow that overtime budget in 1 week. So that's why you may see during certain times of year more deputies up here, you may see less, like this weekend. We may not have anybody up here because I'm trying to hold on to that overtime when we get a new snowfall and we're expecting more people to come up.
Is there any proactive measures that we can take? Like, could we put up more signs or anything? Because I think I was stuck on Lone Pine Canyon. I was trying to go down Lone Pine to 15 Freeway, and there were so many cars parked on both sides that the traffic couldn't get through, and then a minivan that was trying to park in the snow got stuck. So everybody got stuck.
The problem is in like Lone Pine, we would have to contact Caltrans to make sure that there's no parking signs posted. And then, like I said, that is HP's jurisdiction for the most part. Having the bodies from CHP, who covers a large area as well, to actually be out there to enforce it. We're seeing people actually going around and taking over no parking signs. And if they did get a citation, they could say, well, I didn't do the sign. That's why they've been getting citations for snow play, not just no parking.
I wonder if we would be able to get a CMS sign from Caltrans or CHP that lists the fine and maybe put that in the beginning of town, driving into town or Lone Pine, have a CMS sign that says no parking or snow play violation is 150. That way everybody knows, everybody sees it. It's clear as day right there, and we can use that on the big snow play weekends or something like that.
That would be a great help. I think that would be an excellent deterrent so people know.
Yeah, I agree, because I personally didn't know that you could get a ticket for anything like that. So I think just putting that information out there, and maybe we can hit it pretty hard as communication from the CSD to the people traveling in the area or something like that, and just get the information out there first. That way they don't find that out when they get here or claim they didn't know.
Right. Sure. Yeah. Nick's own idea.
Thank you. Thank you, Sergeant.
You're welcome.
Anybody else out there, Natalie?
Yeah, I think we have Christopher Porter. I apologize, I don't see if that office up, but I can't see the end.
I'm Christopher. I think I've met a couple of you before. I'm with Supervisor Cook's office, so I just wanted to introduce myself. Lori has my contact information, so if you guys ever send me from her office, give us a call or send me an email. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you for coming out. I reached out to Lori this week to see if we could get the new representative Cook's or Supervisor Cook's office. So I appreciate you coming in and or coming in and talking to us and introducing yourselves. And we've got some great contacts and we've got some great things that we want to we'll need your guys' help with too. So appreciate your guys' support.
Thank you. Hey, a couple of bookkeeping things before we go on. Natalie, I discovered because I was trying to read Christopher the rest of his title as well. If you take your cursor and put it on the line between the black backdrop with everybody's pictures and the white backdrop with the participants, you can slide that over.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And that's just for anybody that's looking at participants. If you want to see a full name, then you can't view the whole thing, I'll slide it over. And then, Leo, if you want to see, anybody can see this. If you click on participants at the bottom, in the middle to the left, at the bottom, click on that, and that pops up on the right, just like chat would. So that you can see at least the top 5-6 people who have spoken most recently, and
yes,
they put their hand up, they jump up near the top of that with a little hand-raising icon. Anyway.
Michelle. I appreciate that.
You don't have to forgive me, folks. I just received my laptop just hours ago, so I'm just glad I got it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anybody else out there? Okay, let's go on to item 5 on the agenda. That's the board officer appointments, discussion, and possible action. Steve, I need some help here.
Sorry, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President, members of the board. After each general district election, the board is required under the CSD Act to elect its officers. Under the Act, its officers are the board president and vice president. And so this is an opportunity for the board to make the appointment for those two officers.
Steve, I know on the resolution you have the president signing for them, but also there's a secretary position. Who does the secretary position?
I think that typically the board can make that appointment as to be a board person. But in the absence of that would be Sam
would act as the secretary, okay?
I think we officially decided that a couple of years ago that our GM or however designated from the GM covers the secretary role.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
So, Steve, how do we as the board? I think this is the first time we've done this, right?
As a board. You initially appointed that is Wes Zuber as your board president, yourself as vice president.
Yeah, that was 3 years ago.
But then we renewed that. We've done it twice.
Yeah.
We did it once from scratch, and then the second time everybody agreed you guys would stay in those positions.
Okay. So there's a couple of mechanisms to do it. One is through the nomination process, so where a board member can nominate four people for the president or vice president position. Nominations do not require a second, so you can do it that way. The board can make, someone on the board can make a motion. It does require a second. There can be a motion for a full slate or and it can be, there can be a second, and then there can be a vote that way. It's a typical motion practice. So it really is kind of a fluid process for the board, so that whatever the will of the board is, that gets effectuated through the
through the parliamentary process.
Okay. All right, Leo, I'd like to make a motion that the president's position and the vice president's position are two separate votes or discussions or whatever word we want to use, as opposed to lumping both of them into just one vote. Is there a second?
Yeah, a second.
Okay, so let's go with,
well, I think you would need a vote. So you've got a motion and a second on the floor.
Okay.
That was part of the vote.
So, okay, we've got the motion on the floor, so the second then?
Thank you.
Yeah, Jim. By Director Snyder. So the motion on the floor, the motion on the floor is to separate out the two, the voting processes for the two officer positions.
Okay. So,
all in favor?
Yeah, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? So all board members approve this, having a motion to separate both vice president and president positions.
Okay.
Okay, so what do you want to do next? It's a fluid situation.
Is there any board member that's interested in becoming our president for this term? I'll start it that way.
Okay.
No.
If nobody has put their hand in,
I didn't.
I was going to recommend that also that Leo move from vice president to president. You've done a great job as vice president. You've been a great president.
Thank you.
Do you want to make a motion for that? Are you nominating? Which way are we going?
So somebody needs to put a motion out there for that.
Steve, the term is, what, every time there's an election? Is that how it works?
Great question. The term, it's mandatory that the board engage in this conversation actually within 45 days after each general district election. The board can do it more often if you like, but you're required to do it every 2 years.
I thought that we, and I obviously this is probably not in writing anywhere, but my memory was that we had that the board agreed a while ago that we would just review it every year.
And that's just, I think that's a typical process. Yeah.
So like,
that's true.
Here we have the same discussion and go from there. Do you want to have the same discussion in January? Is that good?
Sure.
Okay. And then that'll keep it consistent with future elections and swearing in and all that.
Yeah. Good idea.
Okay, so can I get a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Yeah, I move to go with the consent calendar.
Hold
on.
Yeah,
we gotta have a second. I'm just looking for one thing.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, I have a second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So passes. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to go right to the general manager's report.
Before we go to the general manager's report, I wanted to let you know that Battalion Chief Kelly Anderson is on the line from San Bernardino County Fire.
Okay, let's bring her on. Thank you.
Good evening. How are you?
All right, good. Welcome to our CSD meeting, the first one in 2021. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Happy to be here. We don't have, from the fire department, a whole lot really new stuff to report. Obviously, Steve Julio is right away. It's busy for our time this time of year. The snow has definitely increased our call volume. We ran, actually in December, Medicamp 14 ran 136 calls for medical aid, and that's not including traffic accidents or any additional calls for service. So it's been very busy. One of the things that, talking to the guys from Station 14, they do have some concerns, and I know we deal with it every year, is the snow players and the parking and the double and triple parking on Highway 2. And they're saying, normally our average response time from Station 14 up, let's say the Mountain High, is usually about 8 minutes. And I know this last weekend, they were averaging 35 to 40 minutes response time just from the station up there. Just because of the traffic. They did say the sheriff was out. They did do a bunch of citations and wrote tickets, but definitely just. And you guys know, I mean, that's something we deal with every year. But this last week didn't get any exceptionally time for us.
Yeah, the community definitely felt it.
Yes, I'm sure.
And I know we. The CSD and the Fire State Council, we have an annual event, and I think it's the first weekend of November for all agencies to talk about winter and all the traffic and all that other stuff. So I'm looking forward to addressing that in November, because we didn't have one in December, this past November, because of the COVID-19. But still, everybody stepped up and handled it. Accordingly, but it'd be nice to see everybody around a table of, I think it's 40 to 50 people at that at that two-hour meeting that we have here at Senior Community Center. So thank you.
Yeah, I've attended several of them, and I know it's kind of unfortunate with COVID this year that a lot of our normal routine got canceled. But
But it was nice to see the CHP and see the sheriffs, and we always want more, but it was just a huge influx of a lot of visitors coming up for Snowplay.
And I think that a meeting prompted, Genesee's and the different agencies to keep lobbying the Board of Supervisors, and finally got our $13 traffic ticket raised to $150. So it helped to lobby the board and those type of things in order to try to address the problem.
Chief, do you have any recommendations of what we can do in the meantime? November is a long time to wait to make any kind of changes. I want to make sure that we're able to provide the medical response that we need. Is there anything that you think we can do to better that situation?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, a lot of that is going to come, the traffic enforcement, which is really going to fall on DHC. And I know, in those areas, they're really limited on officer availability. I know the community normally comes together and will pay the overtime for that extra officer. A lot of times they'll sit there and not find a officer in traffic. But I would say if Brightwood did reach out to DHC, the Sheriff's Department, and really get those vehicles not just cited, but I know a few years back, and I know it's not a popular thing to do, but I know several years ago they were actually towing the vehicles as well. I do think that the increase in the fee will help because there's a lot of people that, for $13 tickets, it doesn't really matter to them. They're willing to tamp it. Hopefully that fee increase will deter some people. But without having that strong law enforcement presence and actually putting some teeth behind it by probably towing and getting some of them out of there. As if they decided to start closing it off to non-residents, but again, that's a law enforcement issue.
Is the decision to tow on law enforcement, or is that our decision?
Law enforcement.
That would be a law enforcement.
Okay.
And I know last time because there was quite a bit of complaints and backlash. I think it got fairly political. I know there was some concerns with doing it again, and then also where to put them at the time. We have a health care yard available. My understanding is that option is not available. So it was just a matter of where they could take the vehicles so that they could have actually a decent turnaround, because they did start, so they would have to have somewhere that they could take the vehicles to and then get the tow truck back up. Without the Caltrans yard, the turnaround time, I think they tried to take the ceiling, but getting the tow truck back up in that traffic, it was 60 long.
Yeah, you get 45 minutes going from the center right with the
Well, it may be a political choice, but if our residents aren't getting the medical services that they need, or we can't get ambulances or fire trucks through the town, then, we got to make a choice there. So maybe we can discuss that further.
Sure. Yeah, and we definitely welcome your support, and then I think the Highway Patrol and Sheriff's Department knew that they had the community support. I think we're all on the same page. I think we can come up with a plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, back to the agenda. So, the general manager's report.
Okay. We have had ongoing computer problems since the
second week of December. The first issue was that our website went down and several things were deleted, causing the website to show a blank homepage or just incorrect information with a lot of things. To Wes Zuber and his team at UIA, they were able to restore our website. I did not lose anything except for, I believe, the calendar is missing at this point. But they did a fantastic job, and they really helped me overcome a lot of stress. We also had an issue last week where the drop from UIA to the community building went down, and they did a quick fix for me Thursday, but they are going to need to do a new line to our community building at some point in the next couple of weeks. So that was the issue with the agenda. I was going back and from various computers trying to get stuff posted when I didn't have any internet access. So I apologize for the problem with the agendas, but hopefully it's fixed. The CSD building, or the CSD office in the community building, was painted in December. It's now a light beige color instead of the brick red it has been. It's a lot brighter and more open. So the people who are working here are very happy about that. I've been working with the grant standing committee to get more estimates for playground equipment. The outside restrooms are currently locked due to freezing conditions, and I'm going to not speak on that anymore until we get to the next agenda item so I can go in more detail on that. The elected board members were sworn in on December 4th at Vivian Mill Park, and the videos of that will be posted on our website. The pictures of all the board members are currently on the website. I will be adding the bios and the swearing in the next couple of weeks. Let's see. With the new board members comes a new signature card. I need to have dates where everybody on the board is available to visit DCB Bank on the same day. It has to be within a 24-hour period. In addition, DCB Bank is asking for reservations for people coming into the bank because of the COVID. So I need to know from the board, are there any days of the week that you are not available to come and sign a new signature card?
How quick do you want it done, Laura?
I don't need it super urgent because we do have four signers, so I'm good. But I do want to get it taken care of this month, if at all possible.
I'm pretty much good except for the Thursdays for seeing co-op, and then I'm not
okay
available. But anyway,
sorry, I'm out of town. Nick, I'm on a business trip next week.
And
are you
the 10th?
Okay.
10th of the 18th.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And I'm not available in the mornings until after 11:30 because I have to do school with my kids.
Okay, but you're available any
after 11:30. Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
I'm pretty flexible. I work from home, so
that sounds okay.
Okay. Perfect. I will reach out via email and see if we can get some dates set up. President Hordak and I also met with Cecilia Cummings and Joshua Key in regards to the parking lot. They confirmed that there was not a signed agreement between Ms. Cummings and CSA 56 prior to the CSD formation.
Thank you for setting that up.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it stand? The word stands is they're going to be providing donations on when it snows, and they may have others in that building to provide donations, but that building currently does not have any parking stalls. They're all out on the street, and the street is the San Bernardino County. So that's where we left it with, is for them to, if they could help donate to the snow removal, that would be great.
Go ahead.
So, well, mine is on snow removal, but slightly off the subject of Cecilia, of that building. So go ahead. Sorry.
I just wanted to also inform the board that I was informed about 4 hours ago that a member of our staff has been exposed to the virus. So we're requesting that they quarantine, but I did not know the status of how payroll should be run. And I sent Steve Kennedy an email earlier this afternoon, but I don't know if he's had the chance to read it.
This is a confidential issue that needs to be not discussed during a board meeting.
Okay,
so then my comment with relation to the parking lot is, and I ran into this last week with co-op, is I want to make sure that when we're, and Lori, I know I already discussed this with you, but I also just want to get it on the record, that when we're paying the people for snow removal, that their priority is clearing access to the building. That's really important for our employees. It's important for anyone who comes in to do any CSD business, and it's important to anyone we are renting to. I know that's right now the co-op is going to be the farmer's market, but it's going to be really critical with the farmer's market. But anyway, I know I'm going to spend an hour and a half shoveling on Thursday to make sure that whole loading zone, because we have people coming in one exit or in one entrance and out the other, so all things have to be cleared for that. But also, I have a concern about Lori and Tammy and everybody who's coming into the building regularly. So I'd really like to see them given either come up with a new plan for where they're going to put the snow, but at the very minimum, not plowing the snow against the building.
Our snow plow provider has been notified that they should not be doing that, and they assure me that in the future they will not do that.
Excellent. Okay.
I could recommend, Lori, as well, also is that have them make sure they shovel that area, because it's easy to do with a tractor to push it all off, but you got to go the extra step for our own employees, and if it costs us a little bit more money to have someone go in there for the snow removal folks, to get in there and shovel it for our employees, that's what we need to do.
Okay.
And as you know, the parking lot, you know, a mess in terms of that area, that loading zone handicap area has got just, you know, dips all over it and lots of places where the water pools and freezes. And it's a real nightmare.
And don't forget about the exit door on the back side, too.
Oh, the emergency exit sign. Good point.
That's all got to be addressed.
But you guys did great with the stairs. There was nothing, or I assume that was you guys, Lori. The stairs were absolutely clear, and as clear as I've ever seen them. But that was definitely appreciated. Great.
Okay, is that it on your general manager's report, Lori?
That is it.
Okay, we'll go to our next topic, which is topic number 16, portable restrooms, discussions, and possible action.
Okay. The board's been contacted in regards to portable restrooms. The CSD restrooms are closed due to water in the bowls and urinals freezing. Having them closed is a maintenance issue and does not reflect on the leach field or septic system. Septic control does not have the number of portable restrooms that I need for rent at this time. I have contacted them, and they are looking into purchasing more units as they are supposed to be getting back to me. Our current portable restroom provider is Andy Depp. They are unable to clean me more than once a week. I had them deliver 4 additional portable restrooms yesterday, and they also cleaned 4 of the 6 from over the weekend. 2 of those they did not have enough equipment to clean, so they will, all 10 of them will be cleaned on Friday. And that was considered an emergency basis. Septic control can come the anti-dump, and that at a cost of $35 each unit. So that would be $350 every time you have to have an extra pump.
Okay.
Let's see. Rent Spirits has offered to provide dumpsters if residents will provide the manpower for doing some cleanup after the snow players, but also put out today, 3 additional trash cans over by the rescue building. I've got 3 more trash cans, one going in each of the Veterans Park, skate park, and playground to help control some of that. The R&R has delivered an extra dumpster into the parking lot to the community services building. And I think that's it.
Lori, if we wanted to get more of the porta potties near the east end, would we have to go through Caltrans in order to put a few out in that area too, since it's taken 2 hours to get the distance from White Mountain Road?
It would depend on where you put them. You're going to have permission from whoever owns the property. If you want to put it right next to the side of the road that Caltrans owns, then Caltrans would have to get permission.
Right. Like, and also, if we're going to consider that, we should consider putting it on the west end of town, too, because that's what Andrea Ball was talking about, is down, you know, over here on this end of town. People come back at night, it sucks, and it's dark then, so it's really easy to get out and, you know, discreetly, not really, but, you know, discreetly, the side of the road versus during the day.
Well, it'd be nice if we had a member that worked for Caltrans, because then we might have an end to get some stuff done, but... welcome to the Lord, Sadie!
I'm curious about the legality of that, though, with Caltrans, because they're super cautious, like I mentioned, with the CMS sign, the single message sign, and they're cautious where they put that in. Because of liability with people hitting it and being in the road, and there's so many governmental processes and procedures to make sure everything's safe enough to, so even those signs that they put out everywhere are questionable to them. So I'm curious whether or not they would put porta potties, because that would increase traffic to the Caltrans right away and increase that liability of having people out of their car to go use the porta potty on the Caltrans property on the side of the highway. I don't know how feasible that would be on their property, at least.
All right, Patrick, I would like to thank you for your letter to the board. I think you spelled out the issues fairly well. I like the idea that you had mentioned you'd be willing to sit on meetings to discuss possible solutions. It would be nice to hear what the community says, because, you know, God knows, we don't have all the answers here, and there might be somebody in the public that could come up with something that would help all of us.
No,
I would suggest that we do some type of meetings, whether we have one in the morning, one in the afternoon, and one on a weekend, so that we give the community an opportunity to come in and talk about these issues. I don't know, Patrick, if you knew about the November meeting every year, because a lot of these issues have been discussed, and like I said earlier, that's how we got the fines raised, but I wouldn't be opposed to setting up something and having inviting the community to come in and give us some ideas of what they're thinking about. I don't know what the rest of the board feels, but, you know, I'd be willing to help on that.
I think that's a great idea. I'm just still trying to figure out my last job, so I apologize. Patrick has got one side, or a big piece of the story, and then I have another big piece on the other side. So that's why, let's see if we could get more of the public comments, and then we could come up, bring it back to the board, and then we could decide on actions moving forward.
And Lori, I'd like to get some type of cost. You gave us a little bit now if we ended up using set to control, that type of thing. But if we end up having to do that as a CSD type of thing, I'm concerned about our budget. You know, we're working on a slim margin. And if we are ending to have to do that, who knows? If we get a couple more snows like we just had, we should be in, you know, wonderful trouble.
Increasing the count of the portable restrooms to 10 instead of 6 is a cost increase.
What do they charge us for the rental of those, Mark? You know, on them?
It's approximately $125 a unit.
Okay.
Okay, and is that a day or is that a week?
That's a month.
That's a month, okay.
And it's technically, I believe it's 28 days if you want to be specific.
Does
that
include
the servicing? Yes. So one service a week.
The servicing included is only once a week though, right?
Right.
And Sensor Control said they could do it how many days a week?
The cleaning. It doesn't matter. So Sensor Control is going to charge you $35 a unit. So it's $350 every time they come out to
the Lori, let's give it to the citizens to participate.
Go for it, Patrick.
Chuck and Lori were covering it really well. To maybe narrow it down a little bit, the issue is we don't have enough porta potties in town with all the businesses that provide them, with the CFD providing six. You can literally fill to the brim those porta potties. But there's no more room for anybody to do anything. You can do that in one day. And when you do that, now you're going to wait 6 days or 3 or 4 days to get them pumped again. That's the limitation with that handy junk who comes out of Lancaster or Palmdale. That's their limitation. Septic Control has had issues. They haven't been able to step up their game yet enough to support us, but they can pump. They can pump, but they can't provide enough toilets. So maybe blending the products or the providers is something that we need to do. But the issue, going back to all the community members that are visiting this site or this meeting tonight for this issue, is there's no place for people to go to the bathroom, or they can't find it, or there's no toilet paper, or there's no room, or the line is, like at our store, in front of my store, 30 minutes long to use one toilet because we filled two porta potties in under 24 hours. That's kind of the issue, and I don't know if I've helped at all, but I like that you guys are talking about it. I love that you were responsive and got 40 units out there. It's expensive. It was a big, fast commitment, and I commend you and appreciate it very much.
No, Patrick, this is Leo. as a grizzly, I feel the pain as well. I've got two septic control porta potties in between my two buildings, and they were empty on Friday, and Sunday at noon I had a butt lock on the doors because they were full. And I'm the first business that customers come running to, literally running to, and when I have lines inside my stores and it's a whole operational issue, and it's just I feel the pain with you, and this is the worst. But 2003, when we opened it, it's been like this every year, but it's only getting worse. There's more and more people and more population.
And that's what we need to address, is what we can do moving forward as this grows and our crowd gets bigger and bigger and right when it becomes more and more of a destination.
Yeah.
It will continue.
That's why I think it's important that if there's a possibility we could get, meetings with the public, because who knows, somebody might have the solution out there right now, and if we can get a chance to talk to them. I come more from the conservative fiscal end, Patrick, in the sense of we don't have a huge budget that allows us to add a lot of this stuff on, and I am concerned about what we start on this type of thing, because like both you and Leo are saying, we can fill these things up, instantly. And if we get any kind of snow this year, we just had one that just blew us out of the park, and that's only one weekend. And, it's still out there right now. It hasn't all melted yet. So I would love, maybe if you can get together with Lori and set up some type of
time on Zoom or whatever to have a meeting, I'd be more than happy to sit in with you and hear what the public has to say. I think we can just see if we can come up with some type of solution that doesn't break the bank.
Yeah, and I think having a dialogue for the committee meeting, and maybe, Chuck, you could share that and with another board member. I think that would get some ideas and some thoughts around it, but I'd be excited to hear.
Right, we could come back, Leo, and report to the board as far as what we heard from these meetings and there's many solutions
and some recommendations.
Yeah.
I have a couple comments. Go ahead. I'm just curious. So, as a special district, as an agency, our duty really is to provide that infrastructure for our community as well as those who visit, and that's what supports the businesses in town. So, obviously, we're struggling in that, just in the sense of a lot of people are coming to town. It's COVID, so everything else is closed. You can't go to the movie theater or the mall or whatever. So, we have this influx of people who have been stuck for the last year, and which is great, and which is what we need and want the right ones for the businesses and the revenue vendors. But, you know, we have to match that with the services. But I'm curious, that's just a couple of ideas on the top of my head. What about like a cost sharing program with businesses? I don't know how on board they would be, but let's say, for example, my family owns Cabin Fever. If they agree to put a porta potty out in front of their business, that helps them and we share that cost with them. The first thing is it comes completely on us for the business. And then it does encourage more people to go shopping throughout town because there are those services. We're going to lose customers and revenue and all of that if we don't have infrastructure to support people in town and have them be able to fulfill their basic needs to go to the bathroom and be comfortable enough to go to a restaurant if they're open or other businesses. So that's just my first idea. And then I don't know where you guys stand on this or kind of where the legal side of it is, but would we be able to monetize all on the snow players and provide some sort of something that we can charge for or parking or some sort of way to bring in revenue too? Because as we're expected to provide these services, we're also needing that revenue to provide them because we can't do that off the basis of the money that we have for our community itself. We have to have some sort of something else coming in too, and check, I think you're right, to be fiscally responsible and cautious in that sense. But I think I'd like to see us be a little bit proactive or out of the box thinking of how we can bring in money or work more with initiatives to make it a better reality to have people visit the town and less of a headache for residents themselves.
Yes, we can even look at coin ops with us.
Yes. Now, a couple of businesses have mentioned
the problem that it takes a problem with the doors, so.
Yeah. Even like a parking meter, I think that's more of a county thing. County regulation about a parking meter with coins or new credit card systems or something. I don't know much about all of that, but I'd like to see us thinking of those things to bring in revenue beyond what we're just relying on with this budget.
Steve, where are we legally on trying to create additional money?
There's doesn't have been the district doing that. I think those are all Director Albers has mentioned some excellent ideas. And I think those are all on the table. I would, if the board is looking at creating a committee, I would just say that I wouldn't recommend that involves the public, that I wouldn't. I don't think it could be couched in the terms of an ad hoc because that it would require the committee to hold its meetings in the same way that the per capita grant committee holds its, which is a standing committee. And we need to be posted, minutes created, and open to the public so that there could be that kind of participation. But I think all the ideas that have been mentioned are all legally doable. And I think that's something that is an excellent example of the kind of collaborative thinking that I think the board was speaking about.
So, Steve, how would we go about setting up meetings if we just wanted to, like I said earlier, you know, even if it was only three meetings and you did it morning, afternoon, and evening, and maybe a Saturday? That way you've at least given the majority of the public the opportunity to come down or, you know, be on Zoom on one of those time periods, depending on their own personal schedules. And, you know, if Zadie wanted to do it with me, and we could listen to what they have to say, put the recommendations down, and then report back to the board, you know, the next month in February about, you know, how to address these problems. If there's any solutions that come out of it.
But I'm going to be
to work with Chamber just
Well, yeah, I think the way good, same way that the board formed is per capita grant committee.
Right.
But does that form a standing committee, and then that the committee works with staff. The committee meetings. The committee holds, you know, those agendas would need to be created and posted on the website, made about, and that the meetings would be open to the public. Minutes would be drafted. The non-committee board members would need to exercise the discipline not to comment, because it is a committee meeting, and it becomes a board meeting. If non-committee board members are active, you can attend, but they cannot be active in the meeting. So it would be an opportunity for the committee to conduct those meetings, hold those meetings, and then report back to the full board for possible action.
How quickly can we do all of that? Because obviously this issue is happening right now. Like, what's the time frame that we have to give notice to the public for the meeting, or is there any kind of time frame that we're bound to for any of this stuff?
The committee meetings are subject to the same time frame for regular board meetings, which is 24 hours for special board meetings and 72 hours for regular board meetings. I think this potential standing committee has not established a board meeting schedule. You could probably have these meetings within 24 hours after notice of the committee meeting has been posted.
And is the notice, could that be just the website?
No, there would have to be an agenda the same way that you've got this agenda.
I would recommend that we do the legwork anyways and bring either the notice of the meeting or the agenda to the businesses in town, and definitely on social media. That way we can reach a bigger community audience there and make sure that we get it out there. So it'll definitely go beyond the website.
What do you think, Patrick?
Well, monetarily, the community has volunteered to provide money for right now. I haven't heard any discussion in terms of large sums of money donated to provide a big one issue that this town has, you know, the septic tank problem. Or restriction, limitation affects every business. And if you, like Leo, letting everybody use your bathroom, that can shut you down as a business. I'm legally bound to provide a bathroom, or at least try to provide a bathroom. Because of a gas station, it's a restriction, or it's a requirement that we have. Like, seated restaurants are supposed to provide the same thing. But if you're going to shut your business down for 2 months because you flooded your leach field, that's a major problem.
And it happened to me already.
Yeah, that's a big expense. Has there ever been a discussion in this board about, because you're one of your primary things is sanitation, have we ever discussed providing a small wastewater management facility similar to what Mountain High has put up there? It's a very small site that does wastewater management for all of their toilets. So basically right across the street from Mountain High West. Has there ever been a discussion about that?
That is one of our powers, and I know we right with CSD has a seat at the design phase of if the county forces sewers on the right one. We have a seat at the planning stage for that, but we as a board have a look at any type of package system like your Mount High House. And that's something for us to take a look at. I know they're very expensive to do and maintain, but sooner or later we've got to go down that road, right?
Right. If we went down that road for the businesses, you might resolve a lot of problems. That might be something that the businesses can step in for.
I know I would.
Yeah, I would have to. There's others that you would have to. The only way that we can grow, continue, like look at the issues Evergreen has trying to get septic system in. All of you guys are definitely afraid of any septic problem on their property.
Yeah. So are we talking about the businesses funding this sewer type of situation, or does this go to the town?
I'm saying we could look at, maybe we look at a very small station, which if you drive up to Mount High, you find theirs, it's tiny. It would fit on the smallest lot in Wrangwood, easy.
And it's a matter of purchasing the land or having the land donated or,
you know, donating property doing that.
And if we want to address it right now and we're asking for donations in order to help pay for the cleaning of those types of things, who goes out and, you know, goes for the donations? Who heads that up? And if you don't get enough back on the CSD,
right.
It's not like the CSD, you know, we have the money to do it. This isn't our money. We are the caretakers of the community and their basically taxes, and we are basically elected to say, we will watch what we're doing with your money. It's not the CSD's money, period.
I understand that. I'm saying we need to provide a plan moving forward as a community. These are the kinds of things we need to be looking at because we really haven't moved forward. And if you look at the history over the last 10 years, this has been going on.
Every year. Yeah, I agree.
So, LA area is getting busier and busier. This is going to grow. It's going to get worse. Communities like Big Bear, maybe Mammoth is a good example, Tahoe, they've dealt with this. Maybe we need to go explore there and see how they have managed sanitation, charging people for certain things. They're not any different than us, really. Maybe we need to explore some of these other communities like ours and ask how they did it financially and how they did it physically.
Thank you. I like all those ideas. I wanted to say I recommend and support doing the ad hoc or the standing committee, but I want to also talk about like what we can do right now, like as a, you know, Okay.
Is there public comments out there?
Am I still present?
Oh, you're back.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about also what we can do right now. Can you hear me?
Did Andrea Bald?
I did.
Sorry. I appreciate that. Sadie used the word proactive earlier, and that's basically what I'm here for, is to just say, hey, can we start looking at some solutions and be proactive? So I like the discussion I'm hearing, and yeah, I don't have anything more to offer. All of those were great ideas, so we need to figure out what's going to work for our community.
Can you guys hear me now? Am I frozen?
No.
Okay. Am I still frozen?
No. You're going in and out. Give it a shot.
Okay, I'll give it another shot. I just wanted to also talk about what we can do immediately for this because of the picture that Patrick sent to us. That obviously we don't want that to be what people come to town and see. And so I would like, with Lori saying about the, you know, calling septic control and having them come up and pump, I think that we should consider that because I think that our staff should be looking. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I think that our staff should be checking on the porta potties every day, and if they're looking to be close to that type of situation that we saw in those pictures, then I think that we need to call septic control and have them come up within a day or two, because I just don't think that that's really acceptable. I'm sorry?
That's really important.
Yeah, so I would just like the board to consider that option of having septic control come in pump.
We have the option. The board needs to tell me I can do it when I need to because it's over my $300 limit.
So, Lori, I have a question. What if, like, six of them look like that, but the other six were okay? Could you have them come up and service six of them?
Well,
we have 10 now.
I know. I'm saying, what if six of them were in that shape?
Really bad, Natalie.
Natalie, you're breaking us right back.
Okay.
So let me take it from here, and that is, I think what Natalie was trying to convey is let's see if what the timing of trying to get septic control to come out and address those porta potties. Yeah, I know it takes. I made a phone call Monday morning and around Tuesday morning, and it becomes, you gotta help manage the situation. I know I threw out there. I called you last week or last Monday, and I gave you a heads up. I hope you have a plan on how we're gonna get through this. And I know you said we're getting this thing pumped out on Thursday, but I think after Thursday, everything just fell apart, and I just didn't know if you have also people looking at the toilets over the weekend. So in my operation, and I'm probably very similar to Patrick, I have an employee that goes out there breakfast, lunch, and dinner, morning, noon, and night to check on it, and if it gets to a certain level, I lock the doors. I'd much rather have it locked than people opening up and seeing something that's pretty disgusting. So I like to also see your plan on how you address, especially peak times, because 4th of July, we're going to have the same type of issues. You got the trash, we need to have porta potties for parks and recreation. I know in LA we put one or two toilets out there by the baseball parks. Those weekend days, we got to make sure that we have employees that check up on that stuff as well. And I know this COVID thing is all year this year, and I think we just got caught behind on not addressing or looking after what we signed up to do, and that is to take care of our community center, take care of the toilets or trash, because I was just, so today I was at the porta potties, there's 10 of them I saw, and there's so much trash out in front laying on the ground, and I'm going, who's taking care of this? And that falls back on you, Lori, so I just want to make sure we address that, because I was disappointed on the execution, and I know we could do better in laying this all out and having public comments coming out. I think we're going to learn from this immensely. So I just want to make sure that I'm addressing Patrick's concerns, because I have that as well, and it just gets so frustrating as a business owner.
and I've got two, Patrick's got two, and Mountain Hardware, I think he's got two permanently, and I think he's got another three or four there, so we're just swimming, you know, it's just a really tough time, and again, we need to be proactive, let's move forward, and provide the recommendations, and let's get this thing nipped in the bud very quickly, because the next snowstorm, we'll be in the same situation, but this is a learning for everybody, so again, I want to be proactive like the lady that was on there on the LA County side, and like Sadie had mentioned too, let's see what we can do to make things quick, resolve them, and then stay on top of it. Yeah, it's going to cost us junk, but you know what? It's a heck of a lot better than trying to clean the stuff up, because I've done that over and over.
Is there a way to negotiate at all with those companies and try to keep the cost lower, or maybe agree to using them every year or something of that sort?
Yes, and that was I brought up that maybe a couple of months ago. I think maybe last meeting I had a story. I said, if we had went to bid on these things, she only went out and got Andy Gump. So we'll make that a standing practice. We got to have at least two proposals, and we got to make sure that, you know, once a week, but you got to be able to do the pumpings within 24 hours when it comes to control. I know it sounds like we got more information between yesterday and this morning in regards to accepting control to come out to do that. And I have a standing agreement with them, so yeah, they're negotiable. I have a standing agreement with them to afford bodies, and they pump the Grizzly once a month. I do that as an insurance policy, because I'm not going to spend another $30,000 like I did 5 years ago to replace my leachman. That's what's going to happen, and that's when you have 400 or 500 people a day that comes by and they want to use your restrooms. That's horrendous, but I got to put my restrictions in. I have to run my operation, and this is my livelihood, my wife and I. Just like with Patrick, that's our livelihood. Just like with your family, that's their livelihood. And you know, I can't imagine you having a line and you're in the cabin fever in those two little bathrooms in the back. Steph used to have that store, so I just can't imagine having that, and you got, that is not a leech pit down there. That's even worse. I mean, I understand that piece of it, so I just want to make sure everybody knows that. But I have a big stake in this, and I wanted to have everybody see their piece of it, because, man, it's just being so junk. If you get run that and have that standing committee set up and get that going, I'll be anxious to see some of the feedback from the community, and I know going forward we'll be able to get some of these extra cleanouts and bring in all the fun passing the numbers, pre-schedule it, you know, I pre-schedule something to control it, call them on Friday, they'll be there Monday. You just have to anticipate that, be proactive on that. And same thing with the trash. Patrick showed me a picture of the trash cans. I don't know. I know CRNR does a great job on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, because they're up there residential-wise. And I would expect the CSD check the trash cans on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Or Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at least. And that's just where Parks and Recreation. We have to do that. So, Lori, I want to see what your plan is, how we or do the trash cans as well, because whether it's snow day or Christmas or 4th of July, the same plan gets executed on those holidays we get to get.
We currently do the trash. The issue that I am having is I am limited in the number of hours that my employees can work for the day and the week. Is the board authorizing me to go beyond those hours?
So Lori, so when you plan out and you want to spend extra hours, you present that the month before, come to the board, we'll approve the hours.
But I'm not going to know the hours of a snow day until, maybe a couple days out. That my concern is I'm dealing with the snow stuff right now,
The holiday stuff, yes, we can work on that. But the snow player, I don't have a whole lot of latitude to increase my employee hours to take care of trash.
Lori, I have a question to you. Do they do the trash when they get it in the morning and when they leave in the afternoon?
That's the directive, yes.
Okay.
And every single day of the week. We've got somebody in the office on site every day of the week.
Every day of the week? What about Saturday?
I consider that. All 7 days, how's that?
Okay.
I got somebody there 7 days a week.
So with them taking the trash out at 8 and at 1 when they leave or whichever their schedule is, that the trash is still going up like a large amount even with it being taken out twice a day?
Yes. I was there on Thursday cleaning out that very trash can that Patrick sent you a picture of. No sooner than I had been done with it than within like hours it was full again.
So are you using that? Do you think that we could make like almost a contingency plan? Like if it were to snow, these are the hours that I need to be able to take the trash. This is what it's going to cost. That way we have an idea of that in the future and can anticipate that during the winter months. Can anticipate how additional.
Yes, we can do that. In addition, there's been a lot of information going out right now. I've set out 3 more trash cans in the community building. There's a dumpster there from CR&R. I've got 3 more trash cans to disperse among the parks tomorrow. So we are taking a proactive approach to that, is getting these trash cans out there so that even though that they're going to get filled, we can at least have more out there.
Since we're talking trash, I know Brett's out there. If you could unmute him and ask him to chip in, because I know he and his company have donated a lot. Yeah, they've got, I'll let Brett tell you more statistics about that if you can unmute him.
We've also had 2 hands up for a while once Brent has been on.
Okay. Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes. Thanks, Brent.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the trash issue, we all know it's perfect. We've had the perfect storm, or I guess the worst perfect storm, with it being the holiday week, the snow level where it hit. So we had, you know, a lot of additional people up there. As far as the trash cans, if you need more trash cans, I can provide as many of those trash cans as you want. And like Leo, you had pointed out, I do have people up there, my employees up there, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I don't have anybody to help on the weekend. So additional containers, if you want more placed around town, I can go ahead and put my 64-gallon type residential cans wherever you'd like them. During the community, as far as they're in downtown area. Additional dumpsters, once again, we have the area there by the community building if we need additional dumpsters there. As you know, I put them along the highway. At this time, I have 11 dumpsters out throughout the highway there, going all the way up towards Mountain High. I'll be pulling the ones, the lower ones out now that there's no snow down there. So I'll continue to do that. We dump those Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So we can keep those emptied out. People don't always use them, but once again, if you need additional dumpsters, Lori, all you have to do is, you know my phone number, give me a call. I can take care of that the next day. You have any questions, Leo?
Yeah, I just want to tell the board that CR&R and Brent, they've provided this for years, taking care of Highway 2, providing any extra trash cans. I know when there's, the July, the paper trash cans come out, they donate them, we fill them up, and then they toss them. So I just wanted to make sure that CR&R is recognized and on record, because they've done a huge amount of part of trying to get ahead of all this trash and all these people. So I just want to publicly thank you, Brent.
Thanks as always, Brent.
Yeah, when I talked to Brent yesterday and asked about the dumpster, it's there. It's there right away.
Yeah.
Great.
just, you know, one other comment, you know, like Patrick's, you know, store there. I ran a service station garage in there for about 9 years. I understand what you're having with this whole public restroom. Mine were the only ones there in town for a long time, and I had to pump our septic tank every month. That was one of the things. It's a problem up there. As Patrick, you pointed out, we need to think about what we're going to do going forward with our septic system, at least in that downtown area. I know it's a tough subject to bring up, but Chuck, I think that's going to have to be brought up in this community meeting. What are we going to do as a community to make sure that we take care of this septic problem that we have? I'll leave it at that.
Hey, one question for you. How long have you been up in Redwood?
About 53 years now.
53 years. Of all these years, all the years you've been here, how do you rate this year?
This one, this past week, has been one of the worst. I can't think of a worse weekend as far as having all these people up here. And once again, I was in the towing business. What we used to do is we towed away. I'd tow away 80 cars, maybe get the message. Katie, you talked about that. You know, who has the authority to do that? My towing business, I'd tow them away. And people would leave. But that's hard to do. It's a deployment place, really tough. But Leo, back to your question. It was bad. Yeah, I think it has to do with COVID, people trying to get out. People like to get outdoors more these days. And we're close to L.A., as Patrick pointed out. It's only going to get worse. But something we really have to address and take care of.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Michelle, you said somebody else had a kind of comment on that?
Yeah, but Chris has had their hand up for a while, and Patrick's hand is up.
Okay, Patrick.
I have a number of things to say. I appreciate my friends saying what they do, amazing service, and they provide a lot to the community. And that's key. We do need to move forward with something. In the immediate future, I've offered to work with Lori to augment her limited schedule. The community has offered to help too. Are the dumpsters locked in that area?
The dumpster that was dropped off for Stone Players is not locked. There's also an additional dumpster over by the school that will be unlocked as of tomorrow.
Okay. Lori, there's two more that are next to the one that was stormed today, the blue ones, and those two are locked. And why are they unlocked?
One belongs to the Blue Ridge and one belongs to the CSD. We have to have something, if we're going to dump the trash, we have to have something to put.
That's what I was looking at. So if we have community members that volunteer to come pick up trash, empty the trash cans above and beyond what your team is doing, they need a place to dump that trash. So that's why I was asking the question.
Okay.
And does that, hey, Brent, he's not on the call, but I mean, he's not there. But, Lori, there's.
Yeah, he's. Brent here, so.
Okay. Is the blue trash cans at the community building dumped Monday, Wednesday, Friday as well, or just once a week?
Just once a week.
Once a week. Okay, once again, if we need additional dumpster, what Patrick is suggesting, you just tell me where you want, Patrick. Do you want to make it to where we have locked ones for these groups that want to go out and clean up so we have room for those? That particular waste that people pick it up, we can lock them up for these cleanup committees that would have the key to be able to do it. So therefore, the public will get to them. You know, you can pick it all up. Or Leo, if you want to have additional ones out there, let me know. I will have to monitor that throughout the week because we do have people that unfortunately take advantage of an open dumpster.
Right. Yeah, they abuse it. That's the other thing.
Right. Yeah. It would be nice to have a locked one so we can do it. But going back to the question of Leo had said, is this the worst year? We were having this topic come up. We did this exact same thing last year. People, every time you have a heavy or a snowstorm that gets attention in LA on the news, you are going to have crowds in Redwood, big crowds in Redwood, and this has happened many times. During the holidays, it's excessive, but this isn't out of character for Redwood over the past, for me, 10 years, and I've been here 49 years. This is how it goes.
Yeah.
When you get a storm on a clear day and the news shows it, you're going to have crowds. And it's not going to change. And COVID, Leo, your summer, and people that worked in town saw the number of people in town this summer was through the roof. And I'm afraid that winter, if you can see snow from the valley, we're going to have people up here every weekend. And it might be expensive. It could be pain.
I have another comment. Just starting out on that, with all the restrictions right now with restaurants and gas stations, I don't know exactly where we're at right now because they change all the time, but I know that I've personally experienced the gas stations and the restaurants and the inside of fast food places being closed, so you can't even go to the bathroom. So those who are driving from L.A. all the way up here, I think that that's definitely increased the problem because we can't stop anymore on the way up to go to the bathroom because now they're at their destination and we don't have anywhere for them to go either. So that's just a side note. But another proactive idea is I wonder if we could provide trash bags to the snow players, like partner with the businesses and say, here's your gigantic box of 500 trash bags. You can give this out and either we give them instructions and do a whole campaign on like the idea of packing in, packed out. And it pushed that really hard of messaging of like, please take your trash with you, and reinforce that with providing trash bags because that would lessen the burden of the visitors trying to find the trash cans and then us trying to see the trash cans and so forth. So that would encourage that, maybe take off a little bit of the burden.
The hardware store at some point handed out trash bags. I don't know.
They are doing it currently.
They're still doing it.
Yes. Expand that. I feel like if people have access to that, because even if I'm in my car and I have a ton of trash, I just don't like it. I need to throw it away. So I'm trying to find a trash can somewhere. But if I come back and I can throw it in and throw it in the trunk or whatever, I would probably do that if I can't find a trash can, which is likely in this situation because people aren't going to sit in the car for 30 minutes to go to Jensen to find a trash can. They're going to throw it on the side of the road or whatever.
If we were going to do that, I think that we would have to do it in conjunction with the sign that you were talking about earlier, because we have a lot of people that don't stop at businesses in town. They're just here to play on the side of the road, so they would need to know where they can get it.
And I'm just brainstorming. I wonder if we can have, like, an information booth or something on the way into town. I don't know. Maybe the community would have a better idea of how to reach a bigger audience than that, and definitely hand it out in cases. The restaurants and market and whatnot. And the challenge with the science team is that they're very strict on what is written on them. There's only a few different things because, especially for COVID classrooms that we change, we have them provided and it has to be road specific. So we can say something like parking behind is blah 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 or a road is traffic closed, whatever. So it has to be traffic related. So then it would really be on us. Do more of a proactive, like, advertising campaign, basically, to reach those visitors who would come to Rifle. They hit them before they get here and get it in their mind to not trash our community.
Leo, we are at 8:15.
Yeah, we've got to get going.
Randy's had his hand up for, like, 15 minutes. We need to let Randy speak.
Okay.
But he's muted. Oh, no, he's
not. I just unmuted him.
We're going to go all I want to do is agree with the sentiment that what we said in our letter, the right thing to do is set up a subcommittee. And all the stuff that we've talked now is an introduction to the camp and they're great with property owners is wants to actively participate in that. This is a C4 organization now. We're working on trying to be out of the CDC to meet with the various agencies to make right with protect our property values. So I would highly recommend that if you make a motion to go ahead and set that subcommittee up. And it's not a one-time deal. It's going to happen every year. And I'll just stop there. Other than saying that, I work my way to college. I was a station manager at Standard Station. So I sympathize with Brett. My job is to help them. So that's it. So I'd like to see us move forward with the subcommittee.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Randy.
Hey, Steve, I have a question in regards to the standing committee. Is there a motion or anything on what the board needs to do or provide direction? How does that work?
Yeah, I think it's agenda items for possible action. So I would suggest that there be a motion and second and a vote on that as well as whether there is any interim authority or wishes to give its general manager before the next meeting.
Yeah, because well, it's not for another 4 weeks for our next meeting, but I agree with that. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say I'd like to make the motion to form the subcommittee.
Okay.
Composed of?
Composed of Director or Vice President Franklin and Director Albers, if she's up for it.
Yeah.
I second that.
I did. So I guess she's up for it. I didn't hear her, so.
Get on it.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, then I want to make one more motion. Let's talk about this first. In regards to Lori's cap on, if we get a snowstorm and we need to think about her approval level as far as getting the porta potties calmed down on a timely basis, or do we want to set up a special board meeting on that, but I think we should just go ahead and put something together right now so we could be proactive and take care of it.
I agree. I'd like to just do it now and not have to have a special meeting for it. I just think it should be judged every day and checked every day to see if it's in decent condition and it's, you know, stocked and whatnot, and if the problem arises, I think that Lori should have the authority to call Dust and Control and have them come in as soon as possible.
Yeah, and Lori, they're within 48 hours, and Patrick, you could probably know that as well, that they do it within 24 hours, but I agree with that. Chuck, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking, what, Lori, $300 if we had to call them out and have them
$150.
Yeah, I don't want to make it a standard type of thing, but I mean, hell, if we get snow this weekend, she should be able to call Septic and get them cleaned out.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't have a problem with
that. And I think any time to have them cleaned is going to be end of the day Saturday, beginning of the day Sunday. Because we do cut the weekend traffic in half.
I don't know that we've got service on the weekend.
No, the weekends, I don't think they do that. Michelle, they only do Monday through Friday. Have them clean on Friday and then come out on Monday.
They're not being used that much during the week. I mean, I know they were the last 2 weeks because people were on vacation, but like everything's gone back to people working mostly Monday through Friday, and most of the traffic that's coming in now is going to the ski resort.
Our
regular schedule is for them to be cleaned out on Friday by Andy Gump. If we need a second one, it'll probably be Monday or Tuesday after a busy weekend.
Yeah, so if it snows on Friday or Saturday with the forecast, I would personally be calling the control on Friday so that they're there Monday morning early to take care of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And can we also find out if say that some of them are not in bad condition, are we going to be charged for all 10 if all 10 do not need the pumping?
If I'm going to have them come out and do a pumping because they're extremely well used, I want to do all 10. I don't want to pick and choose.
I agree, Lori. You just got to get them done at once and be judged. But I do the one pump.
I agree. Except that if they're going to be pumped on Friday automatically and they're getting pumped Monday morning, and we're not going to have the traffic during the week. Do they all need to be pumped on Monday morning? Can we just block a few of them for the weekdays when we don't have that traffic?
If they're all,
they're going to get pumped on Friday before the weekend comes again. Yeah, well, I'm just saying if they're not all full.
Yeah.
It's something I can look at, yeah.
Okay.
So let's can somebody make a motion on Lori's approval on these septic porta-potties being dumped on a special or a special case? We'll leave that up to the general manager on when she makes the call and get them done so we can have clean porta-potties.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed. So Laura, you have the direction and you can make the call to septic control, but I would also see if you could provide some negotiations with those folks as well. I'm sure you're going to do that. So thank you.
I've already got some negotiations in the works for septic control. I'm waiting for them to get back to me.
Okay. So
as far as the subcommittee, we need to make sure Randy and the property owners are involved in that. Obviously, Patrick, that we get the information to them and work with Lori in the sense of what's the best time to do this. We need to make sure that the majority of the public that wants to attend, has the opportunity. So some people that work during the day, we have one on the day, we have one evening and one on the weekend. And as far as I'm concerned, we have to start it right away so that we start getting feedback.
Sure, I agree with that.
That should be a problem. Okay. Thank you, guys. Let's go on to the next agenda item. That's the November and December financials.
Larry, on the financials, November, you had
to go. I can't hear you, sir.
Sure.
Just look at the computer.
Yes, I know. Let's see. It was 11/16/20. We paid Andy Gump $979.50. In December, we paid Andy Gump $648.98. The $648.98 showed up on the financials, but the $900 didn't. I'm not sure where that went or how we got to it. That's one question. The other is we have an election payment of $10,583, and that was for the original election back in 2017. How many more of those 10,000 payments do we have?
I believe it is 3. Let me double check. Yeah, it's 3. Okay. 3 remaining. Yes, 3 remaining. And that will be made this month. So after that, it will be 2 remaining.
Okay, so we paid the $10,583 this month, correct?
It is due this month.
One of the 4 that's still left, or 3. Okay, so then the other question is, we have any idea what the register of voters is going to charge us for this last election?
I have no idea.
It just somebody they show up and say, "Yo, here's the bill."
I will contact them.
Yeah, if you could. The other thing is, on our audit, I noticed we have the 6,500 in the. Let's see, it's 51.1. 40.1.
Is it November or December, Chuck?
November right now. The audit you show 6,500 previously, but zero for November. December we had.
There should be no payment in December because I've got questions on the invoice.
Okay, good. But eventually, do we know, is that in the $6,500 range, or do we know?
It's approximately, I believe, $8,000, but don't quote me.
Okay. Let's see. You got the cost already from you on that. Also, on the transfer of, although that's another agenda item, I guess I have to wait on that.
Okay. But that was basically it, that I had questions on the finance.
I will check the coding on the $979.50 disbursement to see where it got coded to. The reason that that one is higher than the December one is because that includes the delivery of the portable unit.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, okay. Okay, anybody else on the board have a question?
Yeah, Lori, could you just remind me, what is the health permit for San Bruno County? It's $520. Yeah, it's for the kitchen. It's for that little A notice on our front door. Gotcha. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions, Lori?
No.
Let's go to item number 9, the website authorization and updates.
As I reported earlier, our website went down, and it was bad. We almost lost everything on there. Wes Zuber and his crew at UIA were able to restore the site and the content. Going forward, we need to review login and user rights so that we do not have this type of issue. Currently, Tammy and I have editor rights and cannot add or delete users, but can update content. Wes and his team have administrator rights and can do anything on the website. I believe having the administrator rights with Wes and his group is a good idea, and we have started doing scheduled backups of the website. Basically, Wes has suggested that this be brought before the board so that the board can make a determination on whether or not they want to keep the administrator rights with Wes and his team, and the rights that Tammy and I have as well.
I feel that's very appropriate. I think it would be better if it's set with the Wes and his team and the administration, so we as novices won't get into trouble.
I completely agree.
We get into something with administrative rights and we accidentally delete something, I think that's a secure way to do it. That's just my opinion. I'll let the rest of the board.
Where's our backup living, Lori? Is it in the cloud? Is it on a backup device?
It is on the... Okay, I've got to make sure if I say this right. I believe it is within the company that hosts our website. It's WordPress, I believe, is the name of the software, and I believe that's where the backup is. But there's also a backup at UIA.
I just want to make sure we have a backup that is online somewhere, since we live in a fire, area. Such that we don't have to worry about grabbing a backup drive or that kind of thing.
No, I think Wes took care of that piece of it. I think it's out of the cloud someplace.
Okay. Do we know why the website went down?
It's the wrong button.
So somebody did something, and I will admit, I was online when it was happening, and I was updating the website, so I'm guessing it was me, but I don't know what I did.
Okay. Got it. That makes a lot more sense. Context of what happened there was
the
internet failure.
Yeah, I was adding all these pictures of the new board members, and the next thing I know, I got nothing.
So we want user rights and administrative rights.
Correct.
You had administrative rights previously, Lori?
Yes.
I have administrator rights. I support what you proposed in this write-up and what you mean that you then just read to it.
Do we need to vote or do anything on this, Steve?
Yes, I would recommend a vote.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that we have a comment. Do you want to take the comment? Maybe him.
Where we go, that'd be great.
Sure, I'll take a comment.
And then I have a comment afterwards.
Hi,
Todd. We can barely hear you.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Is that any better?
No.
I'll type it out.
Okay, I can read what you typed, Monica. Chuck, what's your comment?
Yeah, my comment is I don't have a problem with the way it's written up right now with Wes and his group overseeing and doing the administration.
I just want to make sure that the board still has the right to go in and do whatever we need to do. Obviously, working through Wes and his group, because you don't want to, you know, cause problems that way. But it's still our website. I think we should retain the ability to go in and maybe change this initial agreement.
Chuck,
explain, Director Franklin, what you mean by a board member moving into changing agreements.
No, I'm saying that if for whatever reason what UIA is doing with our website is objectionable to the board retains the ability to go in and do a motion or do whatever we would need to do to address any kind of issues that pop up. That's all.
The board can get
the last person you want going in to do anything would be me. Come on.
Okay. All right.
Just so you understand, Chuck, the CSD, meaning Tammy and I, are responsible for content. Wes and his team has only got administrator rights, so they're in charge of doing the backup. They're in charge of adding or deleting users. So what they've got, they would have to do under our direction for most of it.
Okay. That's correct.
And I have Monica's comment. It says, are we backing up everything before we post it on the website, too? In my opinion, we should have everything backed up outside of the website before we even post it to the site.
That's a great idea. I don't know how to do that.
So the way that you do that is that you need to make the changes offline, and that needs to be saved on your hard drive, and then you put them on, and so you're not making changes live. I don't know how they set you up to make changes.
Yeah, I would say all my changes are live, so I have to check with the UIA team and find out how to do that.
That's also the danger. That's where the danger comes in erasing things as well, is when you make those changes live. So if you can get trained to make them offline and have them on your hard drive, and then you can go in and upload that into the framework of it, then you're going to have that back up there until it's been, you know, until it gets backed up online, and then you can decide, you know, if it takes too much hard drive space, you could ultimately delete some of those. But that way you can also preview your page before you make it live. You can see how everything is going to look. It's a much safer way.
Okay, I'll give you one second to do that.
Okay, thank you.
So
now we need a motion.
Yes, we need to have someone make a motion in regards to the website authorizations and updates.
So with respect to what Steve said in addressing Chuck's concern, which, you know, I agree with all of that, I'm going to move that Wes and his team maintain their administrator rights and that Lori and Tammy maintain their editor rights. I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Thank you, board. Okay, what is the next item, number 10, is the per capita grant.
Okay. This is a continuation of the item discussed during the October 2020 board meeting. The per capita grant money cannot be used to pay this invoice. The payment of a consultant for the per capita grant is expressly defined within the per capita grant rules. The CSC does not have a contract to pay this additional amount. During the October 2019 meeting, it was stated that the board would authorize 40 hours of work at $40 per hour for $1,600, with all the work that had been performed be turned over. I personally received the flash drive with the files on it. However, the newest file date on the drive was March 2019.
Oh.
So did we not get the data or information?
Is that files or is Al on the phone call here?
Is Al is online.
He's online. I just unmuted him.
Okay. Good evening or good morning, Al.
Well, it's 20 here. It's actually noon at 12:35.
Okay.
So what's the question? I'm sorry.
the question is, I guess you handed a thumb drive to Lori back in, October or something?
October of 2019,
and the file on there is for March.
Okay. Well, let me address everything that Lori has written down here, if you don't mind. She comments that the continuation of an October 2020 board meeting, as you recall, just before this issue was brought up in October, the issue of the contract, or of the building and the contract, as they were combined as one instead of being two separate issues, as they are now. But anyway, just before that, it was announced by Lori that pretty much the district of benefits, that you're going to have to go into your savings. There was some turmoil, let's put it that way, confusion, panic, about paying things. Don't pay nothing anymore until we get money in November, December, January. And I was asked if we could push the billing off until January, and I said, okay. Yeah, I don't want to be the problem child. Let's push this off. Let's go ahead and go with that. So this particular issue was pushed off solely because of reactions of the board to the information that they just found out that particular night about your funding. Lori is absolutely correct that the per capita grant money cannot be used to pay this invoice. And so I don't know why it would be delayed any further.
So, Lori, so the original invoice and the contract was, and how much did we pay out on the first invoice, or the invoice that was...
The invoice that we paid was for $1,600, which was 40 hours at $40 an hour.
Okay. So,
now,
if I could continue, Leo, I think I could help out a little bit on this whole thing. She makes the comment that the CSD does not have a contract to pay this additional amount. Well, that's incorrect. When I presented the issue or the opportunity to do a grant for the district, it was agreed upon the amount, it was agreed upon the workload at that particular time, and that was all agreed upon between both parties. And as the process moved on, you know, we were going to convert to a written agreement, but at that time we had an oral agreement. In the state of California, in section, Civil Code section 19 through, I think, 37, it deals with contracts, and this is perfectly legal since 1873, I believe. So we did have a contract. Now, oral contracts are only good for 1 year. So that particular agreement has expired. Back in October of 2019, to help resolve some of these issues that were being brought up, whether they were valid or not, it didn't matter at this point, we agreed that I would get paid for a minimum of 40 hours. I was told that I could bill for the remainder afterwards, but we were only going to do it that 40 hours, and that I should turn over the information that I have. Well, I went beyond that, in that, yes, I billed for the 40 hours. The billing that you have in this particular packet kind of reflects what you were billed for, and what's remained is. Also, I turned over not only the information that dealt with that first month, but all the information. the reason why was because the board at that time wanted to hold off on going forward on anything else that I would do. And that with the information that you obtained from me, that you could sit down and have some discussions about how the board wants to see you on things. There was a lot of issues that needed to be resolved that, to be quite honest, I should not be involved in. These are board issues, what you want to do, how you want to do it, that type of thing. I was just basically a contract. As far as the March 2019 issue goes, I have no idea about that. That's, what, 4 months before the grant was even brought forward? I'm sure I don't have that type of forethought. Okay, so I don't know what that has to do with, but I do know this, that when I turned over a thumb drive, I think there was more than one, but regardless, I also turned over other information, written information, pictures, scheduling, and other things. All the information was turned over. Since that particular time, if there was any question whatsoever, all you had to do was ask. It wasn't like I was hiding away somewhere. I'm totally accessible. If there's any questions or anything on any of the information, all you had to do was ask. So, this whole thing about March 2019, I have no clue. I don't have that information with me. I turned over all my files. I turned over all the photographs. I turned over all the written documents. It's all in the possession of the district. Since that particular time, which was October 2nd, I think, or whatever that date was, the board, the district has been in charge of all that information. But there's something there that's convoluted or changed or whatever. I have no idea.
Okay. Hey, Steve, or Lori, what's the outstanding invoice? No, I have no contract and no decision was made on it, but how much is the outstanding right now?
The outstanding amount is $1,460.
Hey, Steve, question for you. In regards to what Al has said, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, there was no written agreement that was ever entered into. There was an understanding that board would pay Al the 40 times 40, which the board has done with the 1600. There was the issue with respect to the remainder was a leftover issue for which there was no resolution. And in the meantime, Mr. Morissette and I were in the process of drafting an agreement. That agreement is in the agenda item. But as far as an agreement with respect to a written agreement with respect to the amount being requested, there was never a written agreement on that. The issue of whether or not there was some sort of understanding that amount would be paid. Obviously, there's confusion as to that. There was no motion that the board made approving that amount. There was no action that was taken by the board with respect to that amount. The only action that was taken by the board was with respect to the 1600. That being said, there was work that was performed by Mr. Morissette for the district, and I think it's within would not be against the public funds for the board to pay the invoice. So it even though there is not a written contract, so I think it's really within the discretion of the board as to how you want to handle this invoice. I don't believe that there was ever any formal action
that was taken by the board with respect to this amount. I think there was formal action that was taken as to the $1,600 that was paid.
Okay. I know, Michelle, you've got a couple of thoughts probably on this as well, and then I've got a couple of thoughts on this. And I know Al has done some extra work along the side just to help support the board and help support some of these documents and some of these grant process. And I'm of the agreement of paying that invoice of $1,460 and move on from that. But I just want to find out from Michelle and from other board members on and Natalie on your thoughts.
Just looks like he needs to speak.
Oh, go ahead, Michelle. I'll wait for you.
And I would like to speak as well. So go ahead, Michelle.
Well, I'll let you guys speak first. I'm gonna keep absorbing a couple pieces I just got.
Okay.
Natalie, are you going
first? Yeah, I'm in agreement with Leo. I would like to pay the invoice. It's clearly laid out in his invoice the things that he did, and I do remember that we wanted him to continue work on, you know, having these community meetings, which is what is billed here as unpaid grant workshops and community meetings. And I know that those were completed. He performed that work, and also we got a lot of valuable information from those preliminary meetings that we're using now to continue with the grant process. And I've seen the documentation that Al was describing with, you know, the photos and the maps and things that him and Monica put together during that work, and we're still using those now. So I would support paying this invoice because he performed the work, and I think it's the right thing to do.
Michelle?
So one of the things that I was looking at was trying to reconcile what Lori said about the flash drive and such, but as I look at this work that we have not paid him for, it's not computer files, it's not stuff that would be on a flash drive. So there, I don't know how to entirely reconcile that, but several of the things Natalie said were ringing true as I'm reading through.
The templates and all that stuff.
Yes, I would absolutely like us to resolve this evening. Whichever way we go, and I know we've been here a long time tonight already, but we have tabled this item, and every time we discuss it again, we discuss the exact same thing that we've discussed every other time it's come up in a meeting.
Yep.
So I very much would like to have us find a finality through this discussion tonight.
Thank you.
So I would support paying it, and then that would be the end of that agreement.
Okay, and we'll start off with this new year. Hey, Chuck, your thoughts?
Yeah, my thoughts are basically, are we setting a new precedent, Steve, that we can have discussions among the directors, some wanting to pay, some not necessarily wanting to pay, but we didn't take a vote. There is no motion to pay him on the second invoice is what I'm talking about. We did do a motion and pay the $1,600, but basically, so anything that we discuss here, we don't have to do a motion, we just pay it if we figured that, well, he's doing it. That's not kosher with me. I mean, the reality is we just spent a ton of time with Lori as far as getting her the authority to do certain things. We're going to talk later about the levels of what she can approve without board approval, and, you know, her original one is $300, but we're talking about $1,400 with no board approval on, in my mind, questionable information that we could use with the new grant stuff. I know I went to one of the meetings, and the drawings and whatever aren't from architects. There's some way dated 2009. But, you know, no, I'm totally against the idea of us just giving money away without having the approval beforehand. Point of view.
I would like to say a comment too. I think as a fresh set of eye or not being through all of those meetings, I think of the basis and just what we should do as a board is pay this, is pay for work that.
Dave?
Well, I wouldn't say the steps were improper. I think that the proper steps were followed. That doesn't mean that we, even with the proper steps followed, that confusion doesn't arise. I think with respect to this particular situation, it was very fluid as far as the time goes. I think the board was, and the district was in a certain amount of time crunch to get the applications in, and that was running concurrently with the preparation of the contract. And so I think what happened was that there was interim approval that took place, and the contract was never finalized, and so there's this gap amount that is left over as to whether or not the board wishes to pay or not. That doesn't mean that anything that the board did was improper. In my view, it's not precedential, and this is a unique situation, and the board is completely within its prerogative to decide that there is merit to paying the employees and that for services that were rendered. I think either way the board decides to go with this would be supportable by both the facts and the law.
So we still have to make a motion. If we're going to pay this, it still has to happen through making a motion and voting and all of that. Just later we have to be done it before the hour.
It was just like you did with the 1600. Didn't do that.
Okay.
There has been no amount that has been paid that hasn't received board approval.
Okay.
So let's just make a motion right now. Who wants to make the motion to pay Al Morissette for the capital grant consulting invoice for the amount of $1,460 that work was provided and documents and templates have been used and is currently being used by some of the committees.
Any comments from the public before we vote?
Okay, I'm going to say, I want to add one thing to what you just said, and then I'll say so moved with the addition that this is the final payment for services rendered.
Agreed.
With that in mind, I would ask Mr. Morissette if there's going to be any more invoices, post-service invoices that will be
in
the district.
Well, the answer to that, Steve, is really, really simple. The answer is no.
Okay.
I worked for the district for 2 months. And those 2 months, you got invoices. Line item invoices. Anything that I've done after that fact, and this is answering questions by Steve or by the board or by community or anything else that dealt with the grant, I did on my own as a community member, and I'm not invoicing for that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to throw in two caveats. Just to make things rather clear. Okay? One, there seems to be a real confusion, an issue with the sports field. Okay? There's a real easy resolve for that. For all the issues that were brought up about it. And that resolve is right in front of you. Right in your own documentation. Okay? The county of San Bernardino, back in 2010,
hey, Al.
Yes.
But we want to wrap this up. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I have a motion, which I'm going to restate now, because I think too much time has passed to have a legitimate question. I am moving the remaining balance of $1,460 to Al Morissette as a final payment for services rendered.
I'll second
the
motion. I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Okay, let's get on to the next topic, and that is per capita grant consulting contract. Is that a Steve thing, or is that an Al Morissette thing?
Let me make my little report really quick. Again, this is a continuation of an item discussed in October 2020. It was tabled until January 2021. Due to us having a resident, John Kozeroff is a professional grant writer for St. Mary's Hospital and our state grant advisor, committing help where needed. I do not feel we should add a paid person to the process.
So, Steve, could you couch for us what exactly we're discussing and voting on here?
This is Mr. Director Schneider, members of the board. This is an agreement for services that would retain now for the purpose of providing grant award support services for the district as described in the agreement, and the project is described on page 20 of the agenda materials, which refers to Exhibit A, which is contained on the scope of work on pages 25 and 26. And those services are laid out in sections 1, A, B, C, and D, which would be providing a grant consulting and liaison services for the state parks per capita grant program application.
Okay.
Compensation would be $40 per hour of services.
Okay. Any comments? I have some comments, but I'll go let the board talk first. Chuck?
Hey, isn't there something in here that any future grants are no use again?
Hey, Chuck, face the computer and say that again.
Sorry, Danny.
I said, isn't there something in this contract that basically says we can use Al for additional grants that aren't necessarily this one going on right now?
Yeah, so 1A says the California State Parks per capita grant program and various other government or private grants and or other funding opportunities to enable the district to develop, expand, or renovate its park infrastructure and associated facilities. And B is provide grant award support services for the district to the extent specifically authorized by express minute action of the district's board of directors. C, assistance to the extent specifically authorized by express minute action of the district's board of directors. With respect to monitoring various activities, including assistance in the review and creation of communications, press releases, and presentations. Indeed, board participation is specifically authorized by express minute action of the district's board of directors.
Okay, so we have a general manager that we pay to go to the grant writing, schooling, whatever you want to call it. We have a gentleman who's professional ability is to do grants and fundraising, specifically for St. Mary's. We seem to run into to invoices that may or may not, we know what we've okayed, and I don't see any reason at all to even consider this as a avenue for this court. I think we paid off the thing. We've given him $3,000, and I don't see any reason to keep this stuff going. I agree with Michelle. It needs to end tonight.
I'm not interested in entering into a contract of any sort right now for any future work because we don't have income for the community building outside of the co-op twice a month and the market. And, I mean, and you can tell from our financials, or, you know, that's basically non-existent income. And there's no change happening anytime soon. And we can't do our parks and rec program either. So our sources of income are limited. I don't think it's fiscally responsible for us to consider any new contract.
And my opinion is that taking the general manager's recommendation on, I have met John during our Christmas tree fundraiser. So that was pretty big success on the Christmas tree fund and provided some guidance, and I look forward to working with him even more. So I concur with the general manager has recommended.
So I don't see any need for action, but I don't know what we...
Do we need a vote on this?
It's maybe... Natalie, if anybody's got anything else to say, I don't see your faces anymore, so I don't know what's going on with you guys.
We have comments.
Okay.
I have comments, too. Okay. What kind of support would we need for to fulfill this? Like, what is the purpose of this contract that we're trying to get into? Like, what kind of support does this person provide? It was saying, like, press releases and whatever. Is that something that we as a board need?
No, this is all... grant writing to write a grant's provided, CSD or the boards are out, the CSDs are out there to go ahead and write what they want to do to execute as part of this grant funding, and it requires a special person, a special writer to do that. So you got to be very elaborate, and Al's really good at that. He does a great job of it, but there's other people out there as well, and Lori has also taken a class on it as well. So that's Al's, like I said, Al's really good at that piece of writing and getting grants, and that's one of the reasons why we got the $160,000-$170,000 grant is because of Al's effort.
We, as a board, are we able to assist with that? Help with that? Is that right for living too?
Yeah, we can absolutely assist.
Okay, because those are all things in my wheelhouse too. I'm sure my idea is great, and that is what he does for a living, but I can assist at least with the writing aspect of it and the grant intricacies of government processes and red tape and stuff. So just, I guess, comedy on that.
Is there... Steve, do we have to do any voting or anything on this?
In the absence of a motion, then no action would be.
No action?
Yeah.
Okay.
Natalie, you have something, right?
Yeah, I was just going to ask if we could take the public comment from the property owner.
Sure. Yeah, I just want to say that, in a nutshell, I guess the question is what do we have going forward that we would need Bell to do? Because I think everything else is in the can. I do agree with what Chuck had to say, and I do agree with what Leo had to say. I also had an opportunity to meet John Casera, and grant writing is going to make a lot of difference if it comes from the local people, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Local one is fine, but now we're working on stuff like Christmas tree stuff, or we're looking at senior centers, a bunch of things. That's all going to be done by people from the community in my 2 cents. So, that's all.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll just go ahead and move on to item number 12. Thank you, Al.
We have Al is raising his hand. Al, did you have something to comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one little comment, okay? I think you guys are capable of going forward
in the matrix that we have right now, I really don't see a big advantage or disadvantage of bringing me on board at the particular time. You still need to figure out what you're going to do and what brand, what program, whatever you're going to want. But I'm going to make one recommendation. Apparently, nobody is aware of this at this particular time. But since July of 2020, there's been a community rehabilitation grant process through state parks, and they're looking for projects that include dog parks, walking trails, basketball courts, and things of that sort. You should look up their website, look up that grant, and see if you can do something with it. Because it's a different avenue of something, and it has an entirely different type of matrix of qualifications. But it's $385 million that's available to, first come, first serve.
That's great. Thank you, Paul.
Just so the board knows, we are already reviewing that particular grant.
Okay. Thank you, Lori.
Okay, number 12, playground slide repair. We got to put this one up there, too.
I don't recommend we take action on this right now because Michelle and I are still working on playground equipment, and we'll have an update next month. So I don't see, replacing it and spending money on it right now when we could potentially be, doing a whole park overhaul soon. I don't think we should fix it right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, the only thing I wanted to let the board know is that the bridge on the playset has a broken step on it, so there is an additional piece of equipment that will need to be repaired if we don't replace it.
Okay. Thank you. Item 13, purchasing policy.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. This is a follow-up to the draft document that was brought to the board at your last meeting. I took the comments that the board had given at that time and made several changes. Real briefly, especially for Director Albers, who was not on the board at the time, the district is subject to competitive bid requirements for construction contracts and construction supply agreements over $25,000. So sections 4 and 5 of the policy are statutory in nature and don't really require, or the board doesn't have discretion to really modify that. Section 6 is really where the board gave direction to me on how to modify that. And you will see the modifications in sections E, 1, 2, 3, and 4 on pages 34 and 35. So for purchases, and these, again, are purchases and contracts that are not construction supplies and are not construction contracts. So for those purchases, if it's not to exceed $300, then that is within the general manager's signing authority. For purchases between $300 to $15,000, then the general manager must obtain quotations for 3 different sources or an adequate explanation justifying the absence of those quotes. Those quotes may be in writing, verbally, or by other means, as may be prescribed by the general manager, and then that is brought to the board for approval. So that's the process for purchases between $3,000 and $15,000. For purchases between $15,000 and $25,000, that can that can be supported by either informal bids or formal bids. Informal bids are defined in on page 31, section 2F, written quotation obtained from a proposed vendor that is not required to be opened publicly at a specified date, place, and time, whereas a formal bid quotation in a sealed envelope after notice. So between $15,000 to $25,000 it can be informal or formal bids as made directly by the board, and then that's brought to the board for approval. And then anything over $25,000 requires a formal bid process. You will note also in section F that there's an emergency provision allowing the general manager to make purchases in emergency situations based upon authority given by the board by separate resolution, and that's the next document on the agenda. So I'll be glad to answer any questions that the board may have.
So, Steve, after looking at it this morning and you going over it, you did exactly what the board recommended on last meeting, and I think it's very straightforward. And I know the last one was like $15,000 was the minimum, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the $300 sits well. This looks really good.
Are you good with all the changes we discussed last month?
Steve, can I ask you a question about the splitting?
Of course.
The splitting purchases. I just want to make sure I'm clear on that. Does that mean that we can't intentionally separate a project into smaller pieces to avoid the prevailing wage?
No. So the term splitting purchases on page 32 is defined in subsection P, means the intentional separation of a district project into smaller portions to avoid the purchasing limit. So there's a definition in P, and then in section 3, the second sentence says, in implementing this policy, district employees are prohibited.
Oh, I see. Okay. Thank you.
You should have talked about that last week.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
No problem. I'll be getting under the $25,000 threshold, right?
Yeah, I mean, you see that it's those kind of shenanigans taking place, and that's, from a policy standpoint, that's not appropriate. Yeah.
Do we need a motion to pass this?
Yes, motion to adopt resolution number 2021-01.
2021-01. Okay. Chuck, you have any questions? Yes.
No, not at all.
I
think it looks good.
Okay. Stady, you can hear me? I can hear you.
It's not moving. I don't have any questions either because, luckily, I was actually listening to the meeting last time you guys discussed this, so I have pretty good insight of what was discussed last time as well.
Thank you.
So, could we have a motion to on the purchasing policy resolution number 2021-01?
I move with that resolution 2021-01.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the resolution passes. The next one is the emergency purchasing guidelines, Steve.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Rosen, members of the board. This is a follow-up to that last resolution. So there was the emergency provision that we talked about that would allow the general manager in emergency situations to make purchases necessary to remedy that emergency without having to go through the lengthy competitive bid process. So what this resolution does is,
Steve, we lost you.
It's a good profile, though.
Great timing.
He probably doesn't even know.
No.
Okay, so I would like to see you guys start, which I'll barely get out probably when he comes back. But we have a whole separate thing on emergencies, and yet it's Section 7 of what we just passed.
Yeah, so Section 7 of your purchasing policy says that the board can adopt by separate resolution what the authority is. And so this is...
Okay.
The last resolution was the predicate document, and then this is the one that actually implements it.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
And so, but that's what this would do is in an emergency situation, then your general manager would have the authority to take action necessary to mitigate that emergency. You'll note though that the definition of emergency is pretty tight. It's really almost a really rare situation, but again, it's pulled from the Brown Act and what allows the board to have meetings and for emergency situations. So there's some statutory support for how that term is defined. But I'll be glad to answer any questions that the board may have.
Yeah, I see this one references the 01, like you stated.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's saying that it needs a 4/5. Regularly we need 4/5 majority votes, or?
No, the delegation, the adoption of this resolution requires a 4/5 vote. But normally it just is a quorum.
By adopting the 4/5 vote, we are empowering the GM to be able to act without us having to come in and vote. And, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I support this. It's what we discussed last time.
Yeah.
It's just formalizes it. Right. Okay, so let's move on and let's see if we can.
We need a motion to make a motion
to pass for the Emergency Purchasing Guidelines Resolution Number 2021-02.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, all opposed. Motion passes. Savings account transfer protocol number 15. Discussion.
Thank you, Ms.
Just make sure you both know you got a shower like Chuck did earlier.
Thanks, Michelle.
Okay. And I was here too.
Mr. President, members of the board, this resolution is also a continuation of what was discussed at the last board meeting. The direction that was given was to create a resolution that would require the general manager to obtain express board approval prior to any transfer of funds from any savings account held by the district. And so that's what this resolution does.
Okay. I'm in support of it, but I do have a question. If Lori's name is in the resolution, can she sign it at the bottom as secretary?
No, she's only attesting that it was adopted.
Okay.
Attestation is only that as the scrivener of the minute that this was duly adopted by the
board. Oh, okay.
Does this go both ways, Steve? In the sense of, you know, she can't take it out without board approval, but if she wants to add something to it, does she need board approval for that too?
That's a good question. If language is transfer of funds from any savings account, if the board wants to also require that the general manager obtain board approval prior to transfer of any funds into a savings account, we could put that language in there right now.
Well, that handcuffs her too, right, for day-to-day operations, which she's getting checks and from all the
bristles and stuff. Every time she's going to turn around, she's going to... So she's going to do a deposit once a month?
No, no. We only have the three savings accounts. We have one checking account, which is what we do our normal business out of. So they're saying anytime I do anything into or out of the savings account.
I don't see where it says that.
No, it does. It does. That's incorrect. It does not. Currently, the language does not say into. If the board wanted to put that in there, that it would require board approval prior to transfer of any funds into the savings account. We need to add that in. We can do that now with the board adopts the resolution.
Okay,
that was
just saying. I'm not invested in it at all. I would just add all that. I know. Very safe, you're welcome.
with that. We'll get together with Lori and get this thing started on the front line.
Thank you, John.
The public team.
Yeah. Just last couple of comments here, Sadie. Welcome aboard. We're going to have a fun time here the next for this year in the next 11 more meetings. So thank you for thank you for coming aboard and welcome. I just want to make sure everybody understands on this call and the board members, we're all volunteers. I thank you so much for volunteering your time. We've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours over the years as volunteers. And sometimes we lose sight of it. And I have a passion for our community and as well as all these board members. So first of all, I really want to thank you. And I do get a lot of comments when I'm at work about all the great job we're all doing and how the CSD has evolved over the last 3.5 years. And I see it growing in the next couple of years or the next 5 years for more powers and more things for us to dig into so we could get more revenues for our CSD. But first and foremost, we have to take care of our customers, and that's our citizens. Our customers in my business are the people that walk in my front door. So I keep in mind, and I want to make sure the board members and our staff understand that our customers are our citizens, and we've got to do what it takes to fill the needs, take care of the parks and recs, and take care of our buildings, and take care of our customers. And even the new visitors, those are new customers for us. And I just want to make sure we don't lose sight of our customers. So we have a passion for customers, and if we keep that foremost and right in front of us, I think we'll do a great job. We've done a great job. We're going to learn through some pitfalls, like the last couple of weeks, and it's going to happen. But we've got to learn, we've got to adjust, we've got to adapt, and then we have to forecast. And that's my business model, my business. And I'm sure Patrick and other businesses have very similar things, but we have to make sure we take care of our customers, and that's our visitors and our constituents that we uphold to here. So I just want to tell you, the board members, thank you very much for tonight. And looking forward to the information that's going to come out of the standing meeting, and we'll see you guys all on February 2nd. And Stephen, thank you.
One last thing, Leo.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations on being our new president. And please.